Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Cool, we're famous.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Tuesday, December 20th. Good morning and welcome back to another edition of Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Glenn Leverins is off. Our producer, Sarah Tafoya, is in studio with us. It's good to be with you here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app on this Tuesday, the fourth week of Advent, with only five more days until Christmas. The countdown continues. On Tuesdays, we always remember to pray often to our guardian angels. We need to ask our guardian angels for help. And so on Tuesdays, we always take a moment to remember our guardian angel. Now, once again, if you love Christmas music, you've come to the right place here at Relevant Radio. We've got it for you. All you have to do is go to the Relevant Radio app or the relevantradio.com website, where you will find hours and hours of beautiful carols and hymns, real Christmas music, secular and traditional, to get you ready for Christmas. Look for the Christmas in Song banner, which is available now on the Relevant Radio app and at relevantradio.com. I want to bring in Sarah. Sarah, good morning. Today is a day to remember Christmas music. In fact, I understand that today is National Go Caroling Day. How appropriate.
Yeah, no. We got together this morning. We said, what should we talk about? Oh, yeah, Christmas songs. That would be great to talk about. And then here it is, the Caroling Day. Perfect day to talk about Christmas songs. There's so many good ones to choose from. And I understand there is a list somewhere that says what are the top Christmas carols out there.
Well, yes, there's more than one list. There's many lists. And, you know, obviously it's very subjective. According to one list, I was intrigued that White Christmas is considered to be the number one song of all time, Christmas song of all time. Obviously, the Bing Crosby version is so memorable, so special. It evokes so many memories of Christmas past.
Well, and yes, also going along with that wonderful movie, White Christmas, where, you know, he's singing White Christmas to, as him and all the soldiers are out there in the field right before a battle is about to take, and it kind of pulls the heartstrings, especially if you've seen the movie. So, yeah, that's definitely one of those iconic songs and Christmas songs. I mean, his voice alone, he is one of the master voices for Christmas. I think, along with Nat King Cole, he's got another great Christmas voice.
Awesome.
I mean, there's so many
awesome.
Good.
Nat King Cole was awesome.
It's almost like his voice was made for Christmas music. He's just so great. No. So there's so many good ones out there to choose from.
Okay, now the question is, have you ever gone caroling? Actual caroling with a group outside in a neighborhood?
I have never done that myself. No. Have you ever?
I have. You're a caroler.
Actually, okay.
I've done it. My wife used to be part of a caroling group a number of years ago when we first got married. And for a bunch of years, we used to do it. And, you know, we'd be out there in the cold with all of our scripts, singing away all the favorite Christmas songs, here in suburban Chicago. And it's really a lot of fun. And kids used to jump in. And, you know, obviously we would have hot cocoa and all kinds of goodies afterwards. But it was a great experience. Ironically, back to the list that you mentioned, there are some songs that are considered the top Christmas carols of all time. Obviously, these are more than just the secular songs. So just to name a few of them, Deck the Halls, We Wish You a Merry Christmas, Jingle Bells, one of my favorites, Angels We Have Heard on High. These are all great. There's so many of them, we couldn't possibly get into all of them, but just a few. Joy to the World is another one.
Sure, and I know this is one of your personal favorites, I think. I know it's not one of your favorites. I'm saying that sarcastically because I know that you don't like that song. A lot of people don't like that song. It's a silly, goofy song, and I don't know why Grandma was out that late at night and she got run over. But my favorite part of the song is wondering, what do we do with her presents? Do we open them or send them back? I always found that to be very intriguing and wondering, what did they decide to do? Because, you know, maybe she got something good. I don't know.
Yeah, Jingle Bell Rock is another one that comes to mind. In fact, when I used to work in sports, it was kind of traditional at the end of the year, our sports producer would put together a medley of Jingle Bell Rock with all the highlights of the year, actually some of the bloopers of the year to Jingle Bell Rock. It was always kind of funny to see it. And
Another classic song.
Yes.
There's so many to choose from, John. It's really hard to say what could be your possible favorite. I know a lot of my favorites have to do with saying Merry Christmas in other languages, like, or in just from other parts of the country. So, like, Melikaliki Maka, I always like that one. That's Merry Christmas in Hawaii. And Bon Natale, that's another good one. So, I don't know what it is about saying Merry Christmas in other languages that is fun, but I do enjoy those, too. And those aren't always the ones that you hear all the time.
And you can't forget Jose Feliciano. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Yes, my husband always says that's my actual favorite song, and he says that sarcastically because I heard it too much as a kid. It's not one of my favorites, but yes, that is another good one.
Feliz Navidad. Meanwhile, the weather is a big, big deal right now here in these next few days, as we heard at the top of the hour. A big winter storm is coming. It could affect as many as 113 million people all across our country. Bone-chilling temperatures expected. So we got to be really, really cautious these next few days as the real winter, actual winter, starts officially tomorrow, but it sure feels like it already.
Yeah, and depending on where you're in the country, it can be very, very chilly. And man, that wind chill is killer. So yeah, if you're traveling, just you got to be prepared, bringing extra water and supplies in the car just in case something happens. But God bless you if you're out there traveling. So stay warm and stay safe.
Absolutely. And obviously we'll have more as the weather develops here in the next couple of days. All right, Sarah, more Christmas carols a little later.
You got it.
Okay. We begin every morning in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit here on Morning Air when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from Luke 1:35. The angel Gabriel said to Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Hence, the holy offspring to be born will be called Son of God." Whenever we pray the Angelus, we are praying and meditating on the incarnation of Jesus. It also goes for when we pray the joyful mysteries of the Holy Rosary. We remember the incarnation 53 times every time we pray a Hail Mary. So in these final 5 days of Advent, let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us meditate on the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is the reason for the season. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. You can find us on Twitter at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. You can always send us an email, morningair@relevantradio.com. And our number, if you want to be part of the program this morning, it's 888-914-9149. And now, once again, it's time for another Tech Tuesday.
Ready to assist you. Okay.
I love that little robot. Last time we were talking about emerging tech trends that will be shaping our digital world next year in 2023. What technologies are gaining the most traction? Today, we're going to continue and finish our conversation on the 2023 tech preview. And we're also going to talk about the new Apple App Store rules, which are impressed by the European Union for enforcement. environment in 2024. Joining us live is our tech expert and longtime Morning Air contributor, Mark Mastriani, to continue giving us that tech sneak preview. Mark is a passionate Catholic dad, husband with 20 plus years of technology, new product and development experience. For all things faith and tech, you can always follow Mark on Twitter at GodLovesTech. Good morning, Mark. Thanks so much for joining us on another Tech Tuesday. Great to be with you. Only five more days before the big day.
It's so close that we can just hear the bells and taste the cookies. How you doing, John and Sarah?
Counting my blessings, Mark, absolutely, on this National Caroling Days. it is a day, if anybody wants to go out and sing, today's the day.
I'll spare you my singing voice just for today, maybe some other time.
There you go. We talked about a bunch of stuff last time, previewing next year. Can you kind of give us a real quick recap of a few of the things we covered?
Yeah, we're going to do actually 11. There's a top 10 list, but I'm throwing in an 11th one, and we're going to dive deep on a couple of them today. This comes from Forbes magazine. What are the trends that we're likely to see in technology in 2023? So I'm borrowing from them, but I'm going to throw in my own special sprinkles on top. The first one on the list is AI everywhere. AI is short for artificial intelligence, and we're going to go deeper on that one today, John. Artificial intelligence is here, and it is going to be more commonly used. It's not going to be as much of a novelty in 2023 as it has been in 2022 and prior. Number two on the list, parts of the metaverse will become real. Again, it was kind of a joke in 2021 and 2022. Are you in the metaverse? I wish you were in the metaverse. But we're going to actually see more practical uses of augmented reality and augmented and virtual reality in 2023. Number three is progress in Web 3. Web 3 is a little bit more tricky and complex. We won't go there today, but there'll be more progress in blockchain technology. Decentralized computing and technologies will be more pervasive in 2023. Number four, bridging the digital and physical world. So this does touch on augmented and virtual reality, but it also goes a little further than that. It is training and simulation using 3D tools and motion. So it's a very specific application of augmented and virtual reality is number four. Number five, increasingly editable nature. So we've seen a lot of edited medicines and pharmaceuticals in the last 5 years. There's been quite a renaissance in that area of bioscience. Again, I'm not as deep in that particular topic, but it certainly is a trend that we're going to see much more in 2023 and beyond, drugs and medications that are very specific down to the level of DNA for different viruses and diseases. Number six, quantum progress. So quantum computing is literally the computation below, smaller than nanoscale. I don't know if you've been hearing, John, the last couple of years about microchips and the shortages. We've talked about it a couple times here on Tech Tuesday. But what is smaller than nanoscale microchips? It's quantum scale. It's down to the level of the subatomic particles.
How small is that?
One to the minus 10th, so it's angstrom size subatomic molecules, the subatomic molecules that make up neutrons, protons, and electrons are the quantum size subatomic particles. And if you can manipulate subatomic particles to turn them into yes or no switches, then you can make microchips that process more information faster in a smaller microchip. So that's pretty crazy. That's going to continue to progress. Again, it's been kind of a novelty. You can log into an IBM quantum computer and ask it questions. You could rent time on this multi-million dollar quantum computer and do some challenging computation that takes hours on a regular computer. It can take seconds on a quantum computer. Number seven is progress in green technology. This has been a trend definitely in the last 10 years with recyclable plastics and things that can bio decompose. But now, what if our computers, generated the energy for themselves to run? Wouldn't that be amazing? And so let's take a look at that one at a later time as well. Number eight, robots will become more human. I know this one sounds very dystopian. There's definitely a lot of horror sci-fi thrillers that have used that as a premise. But there are robots from, you've seen a lot of the gymnastic robots that come from Boston Scientific that can do flips, can jump on boxes, can assist humans in warehouse and manual labor. We're going to see a lot more robots that help people in factory settings, like with Tesla factories, robots that build cars. That's going to become an even more pervasive trend in 2023 beyond auto manufacturing and warehouse skills.
Mark, we've come a long way when it comes to robots. I remember when I was a kid how scared I was of the robot from the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still. That robot was frightening from outer space. Mm-hmm. And there was another robot movie called Tobor, which was robot spelled backwards, about this huge, imposing robot. So when I was a kid, robots were scary.
Yeah, you take that just a decade or two later into the Terminator series. I mean, there's all kinds of bad things that can go wrong if you don't give a decision-making piece of technology a moral compass, right? We can talk about that very openly here on Tech Tuesday on Relevant Radio, of course. But I would say the robots that we're seeing now are one step more mature than the ones from the last decade. You know, iRobot is a company that had made robots for the dangerous, dirty, and messy chores of life. Vacuum cleaner robots, sweeping and cleaning robots.
Robot butlers? Is that something that they're creating?
That could be next. It could be next. What are some of the other tasks that we don't want to do around the house? Let's turn the robots loose and do that, just like the Jetsons.
A dishwashing robot. That would be hilarious.
That would be so great. The 10th on the Forbes list is more sustainable technology. And then the one I'm throwing on as number 11 is that the European Union has made a ruling, John, that Apple must make their app store accessible to more products and services. It's way too restrictive. And not only is it restrictive to get folks to test their products, use products that might be free of charge to the end user, but what's more challenging is once you put a product on the Apple App Store, any sales that go through it, 30% of those sales go to Apple. Now, that sounds high, but it's similar to, renting retail space in someone's store. Like if you're consigning items, that's kind of where Google and Apple got this idea from, is they're the big general store. And if a merchant wants to step in and consign items, how much should the store receive and how much should the merchant receive for their goods? But now these restrictive policies that Apple has put in place, the first domino to fall, they've been in antitrust discussions here in the United States for years. The European Union made the first ruling, and they said by 2024, the Apple App Store must permit companies to allow for what's called third-party app stores. What does that mean? The best example is video games. Okay, so you want to put a mobile video game on the App Store for use on iPads and iPhones. Great. If you sell virtual products in your game, the sale of every single virtual product in your game, 30% of the sales go to Apple now. Well, not in 2024 in the European Union. Certain third-party apps, like video games, like that's the best example, would permit, it would be permitted to sell third-party apps, third-party products without the royalty to Apple. What does that mean in 2023? All the app providers that have had these rigid walls built up to allow their apps for sale now must be ready with new versions of their apps that permit sales as a third-party app store. So this is something you're going to see a lot of across e-commerce, gaming, and a wide variety of other services to permit a third-party app store across iOS mobile devices.
Mark, I'm sort of curious, why is the European Union getting involved? In other words, what say-so do they have in what goes on here in this country?
Very good question. So Apple sells their products around the world. One of the first cases that made the European Union's decision easier was a French company that was trying to make their product available for sale on the App Store. The French company won a case in French courts and won a $1 million settlement with Apple. Imagine going to court against Apple Computer in France for your product and winning. So the European Union has said not just French companies, not just German companies, but companies all across the European Union who are putting their products available for sale in Apple ecosystem have a case. They have a credible case to make their products and services available without the 30% surcharge.
Got it. In our final moments, Mark, just a look forward to 2023, your thoughts here as we wrap up this year, and what technology means for us as Catholics.
Yeah, I love Tech Tuesday because we get a chance to put technology forward in the context of the virtues, but also we give a positive challenge to the Catholics out there with a tech interest. It's our turn, fellow Catholics, to embrace, use these technologies to bring forth the kingdom of God. One of them that for 2023 that I want to shout out and do some work myself is in AI. So there is, you know, ChatGPT is a brand new tool available. It's a very natural language chat bot produced by a company called OpenAI. It's a very solid platform, and we can use platforms like OpenAI, ChatGPT to put products out there that make people's lives better, easier, more fulfilling, and point towards our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
We'll have to leave it right there, Mark. Again, thanks for all your contributions throughout this past year. Really appreciate you being on with us every Tech Tuesday. Many blessings these last few days of Advent, and Merry Christmas to you and your family.
God bless you. Buon Natale.
Buon Natale. Mark Mastriani, our tech expert, and for all things faith and tech, you can follow Mark on Twitter at GodLovesTech. We need to take a short break when Morning Air continues. Bishop Brendan Cahill of the Diocese of Victoria, Texas, will be with us to explain how the light shines in the darkness and conquers the darkness during Advent. So stay with us on this Tuesday as Morning Air continues on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Joyful and
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Glenn is off today. Sarah is with us. Thanks so much for joining us on this Tuesday morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. A number if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Now, as winter arrives, the days are definitely getting shorter and the nights are getting longer. The lack of light outside could bring us to discouragement, or we may even find ourselves dwelling on all those things that can make us sad, like a family problem or perhaps a bigger picture like the global problem here in our country and around the world of abortion, or maybe even the attack against marriage and the family. There's so many things that we can dwell on. But St. John's Gospel reminds us that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Joining us live this morning is Bishop Brendan Cahill for much more perspective on how the light shines and conquers the darkness. Bishop Cahill is the third bishop of the Diocese of Victoria, Texas. He's also the bishop promoter of Stella Maris, the Seafarers Ministry. Your Excellency, Bishop Cahill, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's always a joy to be with you, but especially here down the stretch of Advent with only 5 more days to go before Christmas.
Yes, sir. God bless you, John, and for all of our listeners. Yes, indeed, it's dark. You know, it's the darkest days are coming up tomorrow, I guess, is the longest night. And kind of the message I think you picked up right from the beginning of the Gospel of John speaks about the light conquering the darkness. And I think in many ways, this year it just struck me as appropriate image for us spiritually every year in a life. But the stories of Advent, they tell stories again and again of having confidence in God. Even though our enemies may seem being victorious or things in the world are not going our way, that we have confidence that God is the one in charge. And, you know, even the Psalms, you know, their Psalms were you know, David's writing like the waters are up to my neck. And God always is in charge of our lives and directing us forward. And I was going to share with you, I guess, part of it came, you know, situation in Ukraine, the broader global perspective. Archbishop Boris Gudziak is the Byzantine-Ukrainian Archbishop Metropolitan in Philadelphia, and he gave address to the bishops. It's on YouTube. You can look it up. It's Archbishop Boris Gudziak, where he talked about the situation in Ukraine, and it struck me about the hope of a people in a situation that seems so hopeless from the outside. That from us, you know, we feel powerless, like, God, I want to do more. I struggle for the people in Ukraine. And, you know, he shared with us as a group, and that's what I want to share with the listeners and everyone, a sense of gratitude for support in their time of darkness. You know, Knights of Columbus, I heard at a recent meeting, like, the Knights of Columbus in Ukraine is growing, like, the membership that we have. Knights of Columbus in Ukraine, they're our brothers. And so, in a sense, they've been supporting Ukraine, supporting the refugees in Poland, across Europe, and also the Catholic Relief Services, our international fund. We have people on the ground from the United States taking care of the people in their darkness and cold. And what really struck me with Archbishop Boris was he talked about the material assistance and assisting the people in Ukraine. But what he said was the most important was the prayer. And the Marian prayer, to trust Mary, the mother of the new creation, and pray for her guidance and protection for her people. And so I guess, in one sense, the global perspective of a war and actually people suffering and dying in the midst and the lack of power we seem to have over it, but to trust that God is directing it. And then with Archbishop Gudziak, he'd give a 1,000-year history and say, you know, we've been through this before and God has seen us through and we have confidence. And so I think, for me, that's been the large part. But then as I think about it, our individual lives, we probably each can give our own personal testimony of times when things seemed to fall apart and the Lord gave us a message of hope or just gave us a message, I'll always be with you, trust in me, that ultimately with hope is trust in God in whatever circumstance.
Well, Your Excellency, before we go deeper into this a topic of how the light shines
in the darkness, and the darkness will never overcome it. There's a quite dark situation that is on the minds of a lot of people across our country. I was actually surprised by the reaction, both just by everyday Catholics and also the media, the mainstream media, the Catholic media. A lot of people talking about it all day yesterday. Bishop, I'd love to get your take on this very sad and unfortunate situation of Father Frank Pavone, the National Director of Priests for Life, who was removed from the priesthood by the Vatican. Love to get your thoughts.
Sure. It's very challenging. You know, I think for us, for the Priests for Life, has been important for our work for pro-life. And that over the years, you know, I remember when I was rector of a seminary in Houston, you know, 15, 20 years ago, I put out a newsletter from Priests for Life to keep our seminarians up to date on what we're doing. And, you know, the other activity, Priests for Life just did a ton of good activities over the years for pro-life movement. And so on one hand, I think we need to kind of keep our prayers and our actions for pro-life, especially in January coming up, that, you know, our state conferences at state capitals that we march, that Washington we march, that we continue to promote, you know, laws that protect innocent human life. And so I think on one level, to continue our work for pro-life, and you're right, it can be discouraging to hear the news. And another thing, I think there's a lot we don't know. So I say I don't know. I mean, I'm not his bishop. I don't know the situation. And I think there's a sense within the Catholic Church, we are part of an institution, and there are decisions that are made that are beyond our control. And there is a certain amount of trust we have to have in God in the institution. And that there are, you know, we have a canon law, we have legal protections, we have a whole system there. But for me, I don't know, so I don't feel I can speculate. I think I can, it's similar with the other one, though, our Marian prayer. You know, turn to Mary with the rosary and just pray for her guidance and protection for all those involved, and to somehow trust in God throughout the whole process. But that's the nature of what we live in. I mean, it is, I know, even like this, shows like this are very important just to communicate with people, but sometimes we're making judgments off of, you know, things that don't tell the whole story. And I think for us, sometimes we have to sit back and say, I just don't know, and trust in God. And so for this, I said, for the people involved, for Father Pavone, obviously, you know, prayers for him, and for those who know him, support him, keep in touch with them, don't abandon them, because that's, to me, the worst thing is when something happens and somebody feels, well, I'm a lowest, no one called me or supported me. So maybe if you know him, to support him, just let him know you're praying for him. And for us, I think for me, I can't make judgments because I don't know the whole situation. And I've got to trust that Jesus founded the church. He established the communion of bishops. He established the Bishop of Rome as the source of unity for all the bishops. I have to trust in that. And so I guess the two things would come up is to continue our pro-life advocacy. You know, we have to be strong. We can't act like we won the battle and it's over. The battle continues. And it's also a battle we have to take care of young children, because now, I don't know about y'all, but we are having the results in our area where there are more young women coming for help. And, you know, our resources, we have to be available to help them, that we've been praying for this. And so we need to double down our commitment to care for these young families. And then also the second thing, I think, you know, the prayerful support for all involved in the situation, but especially for Father Pavone. You know, pray for him and the situation he's going through right now.
No question. Just full disclosure, Father Frank Pavone and Joe Shadler, those were the two people in the whole world that mostly influenced me to get involved on the front lines of the pro-life movement. I spent almost 10 years before I came back to Relevant Radio working in pro-life, making a pro-life movie and showing it all over the country. And it was Father Frank Pavone who highly influenced me in the early days. So we need to continue to pray for him. As Father Rocky has reminded us that, yeah, we are pro-life, but in the end, prayer is much more powerful than politics. And so it's a reminder of why priests should not talk about politics, and they should stay, firmly committed to promoting the gospel. And so, you know, the evil one is always looking for opportunities to divide us, and here's a great example.
I think the evil one does. And I appreciate you saying that, because I think that's where I think somebody may feel isolated. I think we should be able to say how positively it's influenced us, you know, and that we can accept we don't understand the whole situation. But that's what I'm saying as well with you. Like, he's influenced our pro-life activities so many years in a positive way. And so whatever we don't know, we don't know. But I think to be able to say that, like you just said, like, he influenced your life at conversion experience to go deeper into pro-life and understand the dangers that once we start, if we start saying that a child in a womb is not a child, then you can go to all other justifications for violent behavior against other human beings. And, you know, we have to profess nonviolence and have to live protecting human beings, and then to provide a safe place for now to understand there are women in very difficult situations and young men very difficult situations. And we as human beings can say, no, we're here to help. And we do have authentic help. And, you know, our maternity homes, our places, our Gabriel projects, our, you know, to make sure everyone knows, yeah, we'll step up and we'll take care of the children. We'll help you with the children. We'll give you parenting classes. All these things that we do offer, we need to make sure we're there. And so I think I appreciate what you say, too, as well. I think we should not, you know, downplay the positive influence he's had on so many people. And things we don't control, we have to say, Lord, I turn it over to you. I surrendered and trust in your guidance for our holy church. I believe you founded it and guided it. And I trust in you.
And I think that's the bottom line. We need to continue to trust in the Lord. He is the Lord of the universe. Nothing happens without his permission. If you want to be part of our conversation with Bishop Cahill, the Bishop of the Diocese of Victoria, Texas, our number 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short time out as we continue our conversation with Bishop Cahill. Stay with us. There's more to come on the other side.
To be jolly, fa la 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 la. Don we now our gay apparel, fa la 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 la.
And welcome back to Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. By the way, today is National Go Caroling Day, so if you thought about going caroling, today is the day to do it. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us as we continue our conversation with His Excellency Bishop Brendan Cahill, the Bishop of the Diocese of Victoria, Texas. We're talking about how the light shines in the darkness and conquers the darkness. Excellency, the situation that we just chatted about with Father Frank Pavone, it looks dark, it seems dark, but there's always hope. We know that the light of Christ always shines in the darkness.
Well, absolutely. And so I think for us, that's where, like, the prayer is so important and foundational. And again, I tend to go to the Marian prayers, like the Memorare on the radio, we promote this, and the Rosary, and trust our hearts to Mary. And even, you know, when you get to, like, the Marian devotion is Louis de Montfort, and when he talks about one of the things our Legion of Mary has been talking about lately here is he encourages us to give all of our good works and prayers of reparation and fasting and any mortifications that we offer to Mary to dispense with as she sees fit. And somehow, sometimes I find that gives me a little freedom in a situation like this where I almost wonder how to pray. You know, I wonder what exactly in general specific, because I don't know details and things like that. but that what I can do is my fasting, or say you do a mortification, or that you do a particular a rosary or a memorare, that you give it to the Blessed Mother, and that devotion is a heart so united to Mary, she dispenses with as she deems necessary, is how it's worded in our Legion of Mary handbook. And I think they take it directly from Louis de Montfort. I think de Montfort says that as Mary deems necessary or deems fit. And so sometimes with these situations when I don't have control or really full knowledge of it, I find myself, I there's a personal solace in it that for me I feel, okay, I am doing something. But part of what I'm doing is entrusting it to the Immaculate Heart of Mary for her to dispense with as she sees fit. And, you know, of course, other devotions, other prayers, Sacred Heart of Jesus in the home. I think devotional life helps us a lot. Yeah, I know it helps me. So let's say some parts emotional, it helps me emotionally to know I'm doing something. But spiritually, there is an effect that God is working through our prayer that's broader than we realize. And so I think for us, that gets back to Archbishop Boris. I think Archbishop Boris is, in the midst of all they're going through in Ukraine, he's seeing God's grace in it. And, you know, realizing that the flower of the prayers is being produced. But, yeah, I'd say for me, it's kind of focusing that type of prayer. It is a surrender. And with our devotional life, it may be a Marian devotion to Mary. It may be a devotion to Sacred Heart of Jesus. It could be a devotion, whatever it is. I think the devotional life with the saints helps us through these.
Your Excellency, one of my favorite scriptures is from Matthew 5:16, where our Lord Jesus says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." How can we here in these final days of Advent shine that light of Christ to others, to those around us?
Oh, my goodness. I see it all over. So let me just give a few examples of what I see, the light shining in my area and all around. But we just saw a video. EWTN did a story on port chaplaincy, and you know, I'm Stella Morris promoter, and so sometimes the chaplains will share their you know, what's going on. And there's Deacon Joey in Archdiocese of Seattle and the seafarer ministers up there. There was like a 6-minute story about what they're doing for seafarers, and part of it is, we give Christmas packages. And so these seafarers who are away from home and you know, so distant that, you know, we give the packages. But then that's what Deacon Joy will say, and even the captain will say, is the best thing they get is the Eucharist. Is if they have a priest celebrating the Mass, it's like there's a joy that's beyond all joy. So it's great to get a Christmas package and you're very happy. But when you have, if you've been away from home for 6 months on sea, on a ship, and you know, you're Catholic and you have your devotional life, and that a priest shows up or a deacon brings communion or a priest celebrates Mass, that's true joy. And so to know that we're supporting, say, the seafarers, prison ministry, that, you know, our prisoners are, you know, this is probably the worst time for them where they feel away from home and feel sad. They are being visited. So know that your prayers and your support are, there are chaplains who are going to prisons, bringing communion, bringing the sacraments, are witnessing to our prisoners. That's light shining in the true darkness of the prison. So it's almost like you want to look in society where are areas where people may feel the most dark. People grieving. Oh, my goodness, this is a really challenging time for a lot of our listeners, right, are going through the loss of a loved one. And it's a sadness in this time of Christmas where today's caroling day, everyone's so joyful, but in the heart, you almost feel guilty for feeling so sad, and you know, you feel like, oh, where is God? But God is there, and there are people reaching out, and maybe you could do that. Maybe that's something you can do, is reach out, just call, say hi to someone who you know it's a difficult season. There may be a service to church just to help people through difficult times. But the light is kind of looking where the darkness may be in our society, in our world, and then to say to choose to be with a person. And then you realize, okay, I can't be everywhere, but there's somebody there. And wherever it is, there's a person, Catholic Church, Jesus Christ, witnessing that light in whatever darkness it is.
Well, you put it extremely well, Your Excellency. Can you give us your Advent blessing here as we wrap up?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Boy, time goes quickly. God bless you and all the listeners. And know my prayers for you as we're preparing to celebrate our Christmas, the birth of our Savior, Jesus, our Lord, taking upon our humanity in the womb of the Blessed Virgin and being born with Joseph by their side. And we pray, Almighty God, send forth your blessing to bring hope to all your people in times where we may experience doubt. May we turn to you and surrender our lives completely, knowing your love and your mercy. May Almighty God be with you in these and every day, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Many blessings the rest of the way. Merry Christmas, Your Excellency. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. I'll talk to you in 2023, I guess, in January.
See you next year.
Y'all. Thank you.
Thank you. His Excellency Bishop Brendan Cahill, the Bishop of the Diocese of Victoria, Texas. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called The Christmas Invitation by Ron Hutchcraft. It was the biggest night of the year in a little town called Cornwall. It was the night of the annual Christmas pageant. It's an especially big deal for the children in town. They get to try out for the roles in the Christmas story. Everybody wants a part. Which leads us to the problem of Harold. Harold really wanted to be in the play too, but he was kind of a slow and simple kid. The directors were ambivalent. I mean, they knew Harold would be crushed if he didn't have a part, but they were afraid he might mess up the town's magic moment. Finally, they decided to cast Harold as the innkeeper, the one who turns Mary and Joseph away the night Jesus is to be born. He had only one line: "I'm sorry, we have no room." Well, no one could imagine what that one line was going to do to everyone's Christmas. The night of the pageant, the church was packed as usual. The Christmas story unfolded according to plan. Angels singing, Joseph's dream, the trip to Bethlehem. Finally, Joseph and Mary arrived at the door of the Bethlehem Inn. Looking appropriately tired, Joseph knocked on the inn door, and Harold was there to open the door. Joseph asked his question on cue, "Do you have a room for the night?" Harold froze. After a long pause, Harold mumbled his line, "I'm sorry, we have no room." And with a little coaching, he shut the door. The directors heaved a sigh of relief, prematurely. As Mary and Joseph disappeared into the night, the set suddenly started shaking again, and the door opened. Harold was back. And then, in an unrehearsed moment that folks would not soon forget, Harold went running after the young couple, shouting as loud as he could, "Wait, don't go, Joseph. Bring Mary back. You can have my room." I think little Harold may have understood the real issue of Christmas better than anyone else there that night. How can you leave Jesus outside? You have to make room for Jesus. And that may be the issue for you this Christmas. What will you do with this Son of God who came to earth to find you? Jesus is the one who trades a throne room for a stable and the praise of angels for human mockery. This is the Creator who gives himself on a cross. The Bible gives us the only appropriate response from Galatians 2:20. "The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." You look at what Jesus did to pay for your sin on that cross, and you say those life-changing words, "For me." Jesus is at your door this Christmas. Maybe he's been knocking for a long time. Maybe he won't keep knocking much longer. All your life, even the events of the last few months, have been to prepare you for this crossroads moment with Jesus, your Savior. Don't leave him outside any longer. Open the door this Christmas day. "Jesus, I cannot keep you out any longer. Come on in. You can have my room, my life."
Our thanks to Glenn. Coming up next hour on Morning Air, our resident loveologist, Martha Fernandez-Sardina, will be with us to talk about how love comes alive on Christmas. Plus, Catholic apologist William Albrecht will be with us to discuss the many, many Old Testament prophecies of the Messiah, all of them fulfilled by Jesus the Lord. Stay with us. There is a lot more to come in the final hour of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.